We have so much to celebrate, don't we? The Christmas season is now coming to an end. We've been able to share time together in this beautiful sanctuary, in the nave, in the church. You know, oftentimes people say, I love the ceiling of the church. Take a look at it. A lot of churches look like this for a specific reason. Where you're sitting is called the nave. And the nave sounds a little bit like it's nautical, navy. Well, you are called to be fishers of men. It's an upside-down boat. Look at it. You know, God has a plan. And a lot of us, sometimes, we're so busy doing other things, we don't take the time to look at it. We're going to look at some things today with the typical, the three wise men, and so on. Let's look at what was behind the story, or shall I say the account. Because sometimes when we use the word story, people say, it's made up. If it's in the Bible, it ain't made up, my friends, and I think you all know that. Today's Holy Gospel, from Matthew chapter 2, we read of a group of men that were called magi. These men were often called wise men, magi, or even three kings. We just sang that, right? We three kings. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 1, we read that after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where's the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." It was quite some time after the birth of Jesus. Understand that these wise men, if you will, or magi, entered Jerusalem while following the star. The term magi comes from the Greek word magos. Well, what does magos mean? It means magician or an astrologer, a type of wise man who specialized in astronomy, astrology, and the natural sciences. The King James Version of the Bible, the Holy Bible, refers to the magi as wise men. That would seem to suggest and lessen a more negative view of the occult that could be drawn from the word magic. I know myself, I don't like to say, people say, well, isn't that just magic? I'll say, no, that's a blessing. Just like when people say, how lucky I am. I go, no, you're blessed. And many times we hear these men referred to as the three wise men or the three kings. But we really have no idea just how many there were. And we read about three special gifts that were brought to the child, if you will. The special gifts, but nobody knows exactly how many were there. How many wise men, wise guys, magos, you know, how many there were. But there are some who believe that the wise men were a group of astronomers from Mesopotamia. The names of these men are not found anywhere in Holy Scripture, but religious tradition tries to fill in the blanks and tells us that they are Melchior, a Persian scholar, Caspar, an Indian scholar, and good old Balthazar, an Arabian scholar. Now, it was the common practice of visiting dignitaries when they came into a land to go see the king or leader of a country or region. And so they visited Herod and asked for information regarding the king of the Jews. And I could only imagine how this must have upset old Herod. Because it was Herod and the world. Herod and the world. Everything circled around Herod in his kingdom. And he must have been really upset. He had been appointed as king by the Romans. And here there were these foreigners coming in, asking to see the king of the Jews. When these men, if you will, came to meet the baby Jesus, they didn't go to the stable. They didn't find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes. But instead, in the gospel, Jesus is mentioned as the child. And it says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star that had been seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. That's today's gospel, verse 9. These visitors from the east, if you will, and their entourage were miraculously led to where the young Jesus was. And this, my friends, is a miracle in itself. These Gentiles, these weren't Jews, these were Gentiles, but they were aware of the prophecies. They traversed afar, and they came to the place where the child was. And here's what the gospel says. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They didn't go to the stable, but they went to a house. I want to suggest to you that there's also some more evidence regarding how long had passed from Jesus' birth. And it's found in Herod's attempt to destroy the young baby Jesus. Oops, did I say baby Jesus? The young child Christ, the Messiah. He said that he wanted all male children in Bethlehem who were 2 years and under murdered. That's Matthew chapter 2, verse 16 to 18, which is after today's Holy Gospel. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. Going back to the Old Testament. Remember Jacob? Jacob was named Israel because he wrestled with God. Well, he had 12 sons. And one of his wives, his favorite wife, was Rachel. And her tomb is in Bethlehem, and you can visit it to this day. Herod may have done an awful lot for buildings and structure, infrastructure, roads, and things like that. But he was a vicious king. And he was, pardon the expression, hell-bent on destroying all of these young children, these young boys, who would threaten his nice little comfy job. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed. He was disturbed, all right. And all Jerusalem with him. This is what we discussed. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. And they spoke right from the scriptures, saying, in Bethlehem of Judea. They replied, for this is what the prophet was written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Herod called together the Magi secretly and found out that it was the star appeared in Bethlehem. The evil Herod then says, and this is where I think he's more like the Grinch, where he said, go and make a careful search for a child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him. Not. He didn't want to worship him. He wanted to off him. Let's face it. That's what the gospel says. Can you believe that lie and the intent that was filled? He had no intention of going and worshiping this child, to worship the Lord, the King of the Jews. But instead, he wanted to slaughter him because he was slaughtering young boys. He wanted job security. Nobody was going to take his crown from him. For all the good that Herod did throughout Judea and throughout Jerusalem and building and rebuilding the temple and palaces everywhere, he built Masada and other fortresses. This was really a madman. But I find it interesting that the Jewish leaders knew the prophecies, but they were not going to go and see for themselves who this young child was. They knew the prophecies, and they knew that they were being fulfilled in Bethlehem. Instead, what do we have? We have a group, three or more, Gentiles, who were willing to cross a desert, follow a star, offer gifts, and offer to worship this young son. And after speaking with the scribes and the chief priests, Herod sent these visitors from the east, these magi, these wise men, these three kings, if you will, to Bethlehem to search for the child. The magi go to visit Jesus. And scripture says, After they'd heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and of myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. God guided these men supernaturally with a star directly to where Jesus was. And they fell down before this child and they offered him these wonderful, marvelous gifts. And God warns them of the perils that lie ahead, that Herod wants to kill the Christ child, so they go out by another route. God shows these magi something special. And they were blessed, just like Simeon and Anna, who on the day of naming, what we call the circumcision, they saw Jesus and knew that he was the Messiah. And today, on this day of Epiphany, God wants all people to see his Son for who he is, our Savior, the Savior of the entire world. God opened their eyes and he opened their hearts. These men fell down when they saw Jesus and they worshiped him. Now, unfortunately, and we've talked about this many times, there are many who see God at work around them and they actually know that it's God who's working, but they're either indifferent or they just don't care. So wrapped up in themselves and their agendas and what they've got to do that it's just not important enough for them. And then there are many who do believe that Jesus is the Savior and that he's the only way to heaven, but they sadly refuse to open their hearts. And then there's those that completely deny that Jesus is the only way. He said on the night before he died in the upper room, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." I find it very, very sad. It's heartbreaking to see that there are people who can't open their hearts to understand who Jesus really is and what he brings. And the best way we can help them is to pray that the Holy Spirit will help them. We need to pray for those who don't think that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, or they think that he's something else entirely. We need to pray for their hearts to be opened and transformed, that the Holy Spirit will reveal himself to them and change their hearts and their lives forever. Just like God sent a star to touch the hearts of these Gentiles who came from a long way away, no matter how many there were, they brought gifts and they worshiped a child. Some accounts say that these men followed the star for about 2 years without any modern conveniences, but they had tents and they roughed it up for quite a while. They obediently followed a light in the sky without even knowing how long a trip was going to be or where they were going, not knowing what they would find along the way. And when they reached what the star was pointing to, no matter what that journey held, they followed God and they relied upon him. And that, my brothers and sisters, is exactly what we must do in our daily walk. We need to be following God's call and direction for our lives, not knowing how long our journey will be, and not knowing what we're going to encounter on the way, but asking for his guidance, his love, his provision, and his protection. Plainly, we need to trust God. Like these wise men and Mary and Joseph, we must listen to the direction that God has given to us. We need to follow him. Sometimes when he gives us direction, it may not be so easy to listen and to follow, like these very wise men. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.